Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro of the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Into the Fray. Now, with the weather starting to improve and everyone really itching to get out of the house, I wanted to share with you a little bit about a beautiful place you really should consider visiting. Braxton County, West Virginia. Now, this is a place I've been myself during filming for the second season of On the Trail of UFOs. And here are some insider tips from moi. First stop, the Flatwoods Monster Museum, where you can not only get your fill of the ins and outs of, oh, I don't know, the 10-foot monster with a blood-red body and a green face that seemed to glow, but you can even take home a pint-sized version to light your desk or countertop. And of course, don't forget to get your photo on at least one of the very famous Flatwoods Monster chairs scattered throughout the area. Another cryptid sighted in Braxton County? Why, it's Bigfoot, of course. While there, I also had the opportunity to meet the owners of the Mountain County Laurel Store, who also happen to love the subject of Bigfoot, and will be opening the West Virginia Bigfoot Museum right there in downtown Sutton, just down the road from the Flatwoods Monster Museum. There has, in fact, been a very recent sighting at Sutton Lake to accompany others, including a very old report that made the newspaper in which the poor witness actually took a couple of shots at the creature. Andrew Smith, who runs the Flatwoods Monster Museum, attributes the county's wealth of monstrous encounters in part to its dark skies and deep forests. I myself can second that notion. Now, when a break for monster hunting is called for, there is more than enough to do in this beautiful area, including hiking, boating, and one of my personal favorites, fishing. You can find Braxton County on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at BraxtonWV. And with Visit Braxton County, West Virginia sponsoring this episode, I encourage you to get all the information you'd need on visiting this scenic area by heading to BraxtonWV.org/fray That's braxtonwv.org/fray.
I've kept it to myself for the majority of, you know, any conversations. I know for a fact, my uncle who's passed now, he definitely believed me when I told him about everything. And he's pretty much the only one in my family that I know of that actually has given some credence to my story besides, you know, maybe my ex. And, you know, I tell my mom all the time, she thinks I'm nuts because I'll go out to their house and, you know, I'll play her some of the Sasquatch podcasts, and she just laughs. She thinks it's funny, but it's interesting to me, and I like exposing her to it, because I'm like, look, this many people can't be making this stuff up, Mom.
Right.
So.
Well, no, let's dive into this, because I know that you are in the States now, but what we're going to do during this chat is we're going to travel back 20 years, and we are actually going to Australia. And I don't even know if you wanted to share this part of it. If you don't want to, that's totally fine. But of course, I'm curious as to what took you even over to Australia in the first place.
Absolutely.
If maybe we could start there.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go into that. Okay. I was in college. I was 19, going to school part-time, working part-time. I lived with my folks. My dad is in the firearms industry, and he was looking for someone to write a ballistics program for his company. And he found this guy in Australia and invited him to come up and stay for a month. You know, they went to this, you've probably heard of it, the SHOT Show. I know they've had it in Vegas a
yes.
lot, but so they went there and did that. And then the guy came and stayed with us for a few weeks. And of course, I probably should have been more focused on school and work than flirting with the cute Australian guy. But
who could blame you?
Just kind of went.
Especially with that accent, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, he was only like 5 years older than me. So he wanted to go out and explore some of the nightlife. You know, just as much as I did. So we did that too, you know, and just started hitting it off. And one day he just said, you know, hey, if you ever want to come to Australia and check it out and stay, you know, by all means, you're welcome. So I took him up on it. You know, I was a young kid and I was adventurous. I still like to think I am, but went out there and it was so cool. Just being a young kid and traveling by yourself for the first time, like the first airplane trip that I took was to Los Angeles, and then after that another 16-hour leg to Sydney, so that was always interesting. But I wanted to go and experience it while I could, and I had the opportunity, so I did. And one of the things he wanted to do and take me to go do was to go on this big property that he and his family always went to a couple times a year to go and hunt wild pigs, because his family was from Eastern Europe. His dad was Hungarian, you know, and they all kind of hang out in those circles down there. They're all buddy buddies with each other, the Hungarians and whatnot, the Eastern European people. So we went to this property, and it was a good 12-hour drive from where I was staying. We were about an hour south of Sydney, and we went north to this place called Lightning Ridge, where they do a lot of open mining. It's pretty well known for that sort of thing. And then this property was a good, you know, couple hours, 3 hours further from that. I think I mentioned the name of the town, Guduga, in my email to you. And the hunting property was 100,000 acres. It was, for all intents and purposes, a cattle station. That's what they call them in Australia. I know the rancher had cattle. I don't remember if he had sheep, but I know he had cattle and some goats and things like that. And the property was so huge, he would have to use an airplane to check on his livestock.
Wow.
And herd them from, you know, one paddock to another. So to give you an idea of the vastness of this property that I was on, you know, we would walk for hours and hours and hours every day just looking for signs of where the pigs might have been and things like that. There were a lot of kangaroos out there. So that was my first trip up there. Nothing exciting happened. I got to experience all the neat stuff up there. And there was only two guys up there that were running the place. It was the guy that owned it, Paul, and then his ranch hand, George. They were interesting characters. George in particular loved his accent. he had kind of the country boy type Australian accent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, my ex-husband and I were together for about 4 years before we got married. And, you know, to keep the relationship alive, we'd go back and forth a few months here, a few months there between each country over the course of the 4 years before we got married. And so the next time that I went there was when this occurred, and we would stay there for 2 weeks at a time. The building that we stayed in was an old shearing quarters building, and it was a long metal type building, and it had probably, I would say, 8 rooms in it for all the, you know, ranch hands or people who were shearing sheep to stay in. And on the outside, there was a separate building from the shearing quarters to shower in and things like that. And they also had an outside dunny, you know, it wasn't anything spectacular. It was very basic. So, you know, I'd had a lot of experience hunting before and things like that. And, you know, this trip to Australia, the trips to Australia were my biggest hunts, if you will. I mean, it was not something that I ever really considered myself getting into, but I loved it once I did it. I just thought, I don't, you know, a girl going hunting, who knew? But it was just a really cool experience, you know, and just to get to experience the land and all the different creatures and things like that. But like I said, I'd had some experience doing this from the time before, so I kind of knew what to expect. And I knew there were wild goats on the property. I think it butted up to a national forest or state park. Lots of kangaroos, like I said, a lot of wild pigs. Saw a herd of emus one time. And some foxes. I never saw any wild dogs. There were some feral cats. No dingoes to speak of that I ever knew of. So that's kind of the layout of this. So the second time that we went up, his parents and his sister came with us, and his sister came up to take video of the whole hunting experience, which was pretty cool to have somebody do that for you. So the layout of the land was your typical Australian outback. I mean, lots of trees, the ground was really red, not a lot of watering holes, but there were some obviously for the cattle and the sheep or whatever. So those naturally were where we figured a lot of the wild pigs would be drawn to for water sources. I'm just trying to think here. So a lot of times also they would go spotlighting at night, which I think in a lot of places here in the United States is illegal, but there it's not that I know of. They would go spotlighting for wild pigs. You know, they're more active at night apparently. But I got used to what all the different animals were and what they sounded like, you know, and they had an outside building where they would make smoked sausages, and that'll come into play here in a minute. So for a few days, you know, we did our thing walking around looking for sign and just checking things out, figuring out where we were going to go and stake out, you know, just things like that. I remember being outside at night a couple days before I heard this thing. There were some really weird lights in the sky, and they looked like helicopter lights, but there was no sound. It was, from what I remember, they were white and red lights, alternately flashing, and it seemed like it would have been a lot further away than what a helicopter would be typically. But the other thing that I thought about was, why in the hell would a helicopter be out here in the middle of the outback at night? So that kind of piqued my interest. I was really curious about that, especially for the fact that it didn't make any sound. I thought, well, is this some kind of satellite? I didn't know. I mean, I was a young kid. I didn't have as much experience with, I suppose, that sort of thing, or, you know, knowledge on the whole woo and the UFO stuff like they talk about on some of the other podcasts where, you know, they see the lights and then, you know, something else appears. I don't know what to make of that, to be honest with you. It still puzzles me. Like, a lot of the stuff that people talk about with, you know, seeing the lights and then something manifesting and the whole cloaking thing just blows my mind. But at any rate, these flashing lights, you know, like I said, it looked like a helicopter. There was no sound at all. And within a few minutes, they just trailed off and they were gone completely. So I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what to make of it. But
was there two of them, Rebecca?
No, I mean, it looked like there were two white lights that were flashing alternately with some red lights. And it seemed like the red lights were smaller than the white lights.
And no noise. And so, sorry, I misunderstood. So you're thinking like one craft, but that it had several lights on it, right? Did it do any maneuvers that were strange?
No. The only thing that I remember was that it was there and then it trailed off fairly quickly and it was just gone. You know, not a lot got said about that. My ex was out there with me. He saw it too, but, you know, some of the details of what was said are still kind of fuzzy to me because I guess I never really put too much thought into this, as much as when I started listening to some of the other people's accounts of what they saw. And then I started putting two and two together. I'm like, could that be? And I know the mind is a powerful thing, but I know what I saw. And I know there's no way in hell there's going to be a helicopter out there at night. Like I said, it doesn't make sense, you know?
What did your ex say about it?
Yeah, like I said, I don't really remember his comments on the whole lights other than probably something to the effect of, yeah, that's really weird. Like, what is that? And maybe he was the one that mentioned maybe it's a helicopter, and it wouldn't have been anybody in a plane. It was just, there was no noise. So
that is weird considering that you're on a 100,000 acre property. You're right. Like, why would they fly into the middle of nowhere, wasting very expensive fuel just to fly around at night? Unless there was some kind of weird, not weird, but training exercise going on or something like that. But if you thought it was a helicopter, you should have been able to hear it because I bet it was just stone silent out there.
Oh, yeah. I never really heard any animals make noise at night that I can ever remember being out there. Cause you know, I even went spotlighting a couple times, myself with my ex and some of his friends on another trip, but I never really recalled hearing anything as far as calls or sounds made by animals at night. So, like I said, you know, we saw the lights. I didn't make a whole lot of it. You know, I was just like, I don't know what it is. Who knows? It could be a satellite. You know, what if it's a UFO? It was just that kind of thing. You know, you just brush it off because you're like, well, what is it? You know, and like I said, I didn't know anything about the whole association between UFOs and Bigfoot sightings back then. So just wasn't a lot of talk about stuff like that. So basically, a couple days after that is where we kind of come into what happened. If you want to go into there now, unless you have any other questions.
Go right ahead. Thank you.
So a couple days later, my ex and his parents decide to go out in the Land Cruiser to go spotlighting for pigs. And this was dark, completely dark, completely quiet. I will say before I go into it that the ranch hand had a house about a mile away from the shearing station where we were staying. And I know he had a few cattle dogs, but I'm sure he probably kept them chained up or pinned up at night. Because, of course, you know, being out on that kind of property, you don't want your dogs just like running off. They go out and do their thing. I'm sure they were only going to be gone for like an hour. And this was probably maybe 8 o'clock at night. And my ex-sister-in-law had already gone to bed. She was, you know, out. So I go out to this shower building, and the shower building is probably 30 feet away from the main shearing quarters. So, you know, you have to walk out there with your shower shoes on so you don't get your feet dirty with all that red dirt out there. But they didn't have any natural hot water that ran to the shower. So they had to use this big 55-gallon steel drum and build a fire underneath it to heat the water up to go into the shower. I do remember them saying that the food scraps they would put back there too to burn, you know, to get rid of them, because there was no trash or anything, any other trash that we had to haul out. I went out there to do my thing, take my shower for the night, get ready for bed. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. It was kind of creepy being out there in the middle of wherever by yourself at night, but I was like, eh, no big deal. Sonia's in the shearing quarters. They'll be back soon. I was just kind of used to, you get used to it. What can I say? Just doing things and being out there in the dark and taking your flashlights with you and whatever you need to do to get your stuff done. So I go out there, you know, get done with my shower. And no sooner do I get my clothes on, I start hearing this thing howling, moaning. It was like a dual tone type of moan howl. You know, if I made one sound and had somebody else make another lower sound and we did it at the same time, that's what it would sound like. Mm. So that was really bizarre to me, that it just sounded like two things moaning and howling in unison, but it was one animal. And this thing, the way it sounded like the length of the call or the noise, whatever that it was making, sounded like if you hear a wolf like howling. It was long and drawn out, but it was a lower type sound. It was really audible, but just the tone of it was low. And it sounded kind of sad. So it starts making this noise, like this howling and moaning combination sound. And I could try and replicate it for you, but I mean, it's not going to come close to what it was. It just, like I said, the length of it sounded like what you would hear if a wolf makes. It was kind of a woo sound. You know, when I think about it, it's just weird.
Almost like, have you heard the Ohio howl?
Yeah.
That Matt Moneymaker captured in, obviously in Ohio. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but it sounds like there's also another layer to that sound that you heard. But, you know, if we're just kind of talking about Bigfoot for a second, as far as the sounds that, that have been recorded for those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing that really interested me when I heard that. I'm like, holy crap. That's really similar to what this thing sounded like. And I've just racked my brain over the years listening to different types of calls and howls and things like that. I'm like, first of all, I already figured I knew what every animal out there sounded like. And this thing did not sound like anything else. I just can't say it enough. It was just like nothing I've ever heard before. I immediately just like freaked out. There was a chair in this shower building. I quietly put it up against the door and shut the lights off and sat there and waited in the dark for this thing to go away or for them to come back from spotlighting. And it just kept making this noise intermittently. And I could hear it trailing off, but it was still really audible. And it would just keep going and going. And it went like this for 15 or 20 minutes at least. And I sat there just frozen. Like, there was no way in hell I was going to walk out there to see what it was. Because, I mean, I can only imagine how scarred I would have been if I would have gone out there and it would have been something like, you know, a Yowie or Dogman or whatever. I just, yeah, no way would I have had the gall to go out and check it out. I didn't even have a weapon on me. So, yeah, no. But eventually they came back. I heard the Land Cruiser pull up. I waited for them to come out and find me. Which
even then you didn't budge. You didn't take the chair from the door. You waited for them to come to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you were really terrified.
Well, yeah. Terrified could be an understatement. You know, and being out there and doing things in the dark, I figured I was probably kind of fearless considering, but when it came to this, oh God, what else could I do but lock myself in? I had no way of protecting myself. And
I interrupted you. I apologize. You started to say something about your mother-in-law.
No, it's fine. They came back. I heard her come out the door looking for me, and she called my name. And that's when I figured, okay, I'm going to go and make a dash for it, because I heard this thing was still making its call, moan, howl. You could hear it off in the distance. And so, you know, I pulled the chair away from the door and just bolted up to the porch where she was at. She looked at me. She's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Don't you hear that?" She didn't, because she was partially deaf. My ex came out and he could hear it. He was like, "Oh my God." And, you know, I was telling you about the ranch hand who had these cattle dogs. They started going absolutely berserk. I could hear them off in the distance. They were like a mile away and they were just going crazy because this thing was probably getting closer to where they were at, but you could still hear it moaning, howling, whatever it was. And even my ex said, "I don't know what that is." And then he started to tease me like it was funny. He's like, "Well, maybe it's the Yowie monster." And I'm like, "Well, you heard it. You know that that's nothing that we've ever heard before. So what could it be?" The thing that bothers me is I didn't go out the next day, you know, thinking back to go and look around the outside of the building to look for any footprints or anything like that. And I don't know how many or what we would have found anyway, because a lot of it was scrubby brush back there.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, I'm just kicking myself because I guess I didn't think a lot about it at the time.
What's the dirt like there? Is it soft or is it pretty hard packed?
It's a combination. Certain parts are soft, and it depends on if there's a drought or anything like that. And certain parts can be hard packed, hard dirt. But for what I remember walking to and from the shower building, it was pretty soft dirt.
Something that I had written down was how close was it, but you pretty much answered this, and it's way closer than I was thinking at the beginning, because you said, oh, well, I should have gone out the next day and looked around the building for the tracks. So that's how close you think that thing was when it started out with these howls.
Yeah, it was literally right behind this shower building next to this. And I'm sure, it was scavenging, foraging for whatever it could from some food scraps that maybe had been left out there to burn. And it was pretty loud. That's the other thing that got me. I'm like, it just sounded like it wasn't an animal that was on all fours. It sounded like it was louder, more audible, higher up. It just, I don't know.
That's weird. I just thought it had started off kind of in the distance, but I didn't realize it was right there. So that is, in fact, where the scraps were thrown, like every day or every couple days or whatever, right?
Yeah. Anything that could be, burnt or food scraps, compost type stuff. So
was he upset because there wasn't the scraps back there that he wanted? Why was this thing so upset? You even said it sounded sad.
It did. I'm thinking, was it calling out for something, saying, hey, I found some food?
Right.
I mean, because it's a pretty scarce area for any type of, food source. Even the wild pigs up there would, they would get cannibalistic at times if there was a drought and there was no food. They would eat their own young.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really gruesome, but that's the truth. Man, I don't know. I just know that this thing sounded big and it was pretty loud because it was right behind the building. Do I have to add in that there was a full moon that night?
Of course there was, right?
And there were these three windows at the front of the building that had clear slats. So there was screen and clear slats. I remember closing those slats too, as quietly as I could. But before I closed them, I looked out and I'm like, oh, great, a full moon. Okay, that might explain something. I don't know. But, just listening to some of these other encounters and stuff over the years, I really started to wonder. And that's really kind of what started getting me interested in listening to some of these other people, because I'm just like, I know I'm not crazy. I know what I heard. But the fact that I didn't see it is what just leaves me hanging all these years. But
right.
I don't think I would have wanted to see it, because I think that really would have scarred me, to be honest. I mean, I have nightmares enough as it is, and I don't need something like that adding to it.
No, you don't. Sleep is a wonderful thing.
What's that?
I said sleep is a wonderful thing. You don't need that. We need our sleep. Humans need sleep. Now, how often, Rebecca, do people stay at, in the shared space and use the shower facilities on all of that? How many times a year is that thing occupied?
I would say no more than two or three times a year for a couple weeks at a time, at least from what I remember. Me and my ex and his family, we would be one of maybe two families that would go up there, because, they had made really good friends with the guy that owned the property, the rancher. And there weren't any other people that I knew of that went up there other than the Hungarian folk. So.
Wow. See, that does say something then. If it's not occupied all the time, then they can usually just come in, if that's what we're talking about, and do whatever the heck they want to do when they want to do it without anybody really seeing them. Now, I know that you said when you guys would come in, you would stay 2 weeks at a time. And I apologize if I missed this, but at what point during this trip did all of this go on, especially the howling and the moaning? Was that at the beginning of the trip or near the end?
I want to say this was probably more near the end, because if it was toward the beginning, I do remember some of the videotape from the beginning of the trip, and, you know, me going out there and watching my father-in-law skin the pigs and watching, videotaping how he did it and things like that and joking around, you know. And I seem to remember that was probably like the first weekend when we were, you know, starting with the filming, and my ex's sister would follow us around when we would be walking during the daytime looking for the wild pigs and stuff like that. I'm trying to remember, you know, any conversations that we would have had with the rancher and the ranch hand, George.
Yeah, that's what I'm definitely wondering about, because it made its way over to his property. Any conversation at all with that guy?
Well, I seem to remember us telling them about it, or my ex telling them about it, and them just kind of like, I don't really remember them saying a whole lot. But I do feel like George just kind of looked, I just feel like he had this look on his face like, So I'm wondering if maybe he'd heard it before, especially, and I really wish I could remember if he had said something about the dogs going crazy that night, you know?
Yeah.
I just wish I'd written more of it down, but I don't know why I didn't.
It's all right. We all do that. Like, don't worry. And this is 20.
But...
Yeah, this is 20 years ago. So don't be too hard on yourself. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point. Maybe he had heard it before. I mean, dogs tend to just go crazy about what they want to go crazy about. They don't really always get used to things as much. But yeah, maybe George was just like, oh, that again. Yeah, and had to kind of keep the poker face about it.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure they probably didn't want to, like, scare anybody off, but also by the same token, I think that, you know, a lot of people just brush it off like it's nothing.
Right.
And so George seemed to be a pretty straightforward guy. He wouldn't BS anybody. And that's what I liked about him. So I just wish that I still kept even a copy of the video that we took when we were down there.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see.
And I don't have any contact with anybody there anymore except my best friend down there and her mom. They're the only two people that I'm my other friend Andrew, but I haven't talked to him in a while, you know. And
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. adults. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Did you guys pay to go out there and stay and hunt?
No, it was completely free, you know. I mean, okay. We brought our own food and stuff like that, and I seem to remember, you know, an exchange of here's some meat, you know, here's some goat meat, and also it was doing them a favor because the pigs were competition with the livestock. So I know Paul was more than happy to have everybody come up there and just, you know, annihilate whatever wild pigs that he could, because they've really started to become a nuisance in Australia and destroy a lot of the flora and the fauna and the natural stuff. So, because they were introduced by the Europeans, I'm sure, back in the day, and, you know, they breed so much that it's hard to keep the population down.
Right.
But yeah, that's been the biggest reason of, you know, trying to get rid of them is trying to preserve the natural flora and fauna there and not letting the nuisance of a non-indigenous creature take over and destroy everything. So
have you come across any other sightings anywhere around that area of Yowies?
No, that was it. That's all I have. You know, I've had weird feelings at night after that, like there being something around, and, you know, having an experience like that can really make you hyper aware, especially after that. So needless to say, it's really hard for me to sit out in the middle of the nowhere alone in the dark.
Did you guys go on any more trips after that out there to that property?
Yeah, I believe there was one more hunt that we went on before we started coming back to the States and doing the wedding stuff and all that. But I don't remember anything else happening after that. I think, you know, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. I just thought, well, you know, maybe it was something and maybe it wasn't what I thought. Because as time passes, you just kind of sort of, you know, you let stuff go. And I think what I tried to do was just put it in the back of my mind like it maybe wasn't what I thought it was. So I think the biggest thing for me is that listening to a lot of these other people's accounts has really brought it back up. And, you know, I just can't get over. I can't get over that. I didn't see it, but I just know deep down that this was not something normal. And that's what I have to live with the rest of my life, is that wondering what this thing was. So,
I mean, it must have been a relief at least that your ex, for the sounds of this creature, was like, I don't know what in the world that is.
Yeah, because he'd been out there, you know, so many more times than I had, and I'd never heard anything like that. We'd never seen any wild dogs on the property. And like I said, I've listened to different fox calls, screams, dingoes. This was none of that. I mean, like you said, it was the Ohio howl. It was very similar to that. I mean, and even listening to some of the other people talk about there being like this dual tone, I'm like, that makes sense. You know, it clicks. I'm like, holy crap. So I just feel deep down that this was not something of this world. If you want to call it that, because I still don't know what to make of the whole missing link thing and the cloaking and the flashing lights, or the woo, as some people call it. It's just, I go back and forth between, is this a natural creature that has just lived in the shadows for so long and is able to hide really well, or is this something more that is being brought here by something else?
Well, and then of course the fact that you saw those lights that you can't quite identify, right?
Yeah. That was just as an afterthought. You put two and two together, especially when I first started hearing about the lights and then the sightings, and then it clicks even more.
Well, I've actually got the Ohio Howl pulled up. Would you mind me just go ahead and I want to play that?
Yeah, absolutely.
In case anyone's not heard that, I'm sure most people have, but... Here's the amplified version. Yeah, so I mean, that one definitely has kind of that baleful, mournful sound, right?
Listening to some of the different calls, and, you know, you can tell which ones are fake and which ones are real, in my opinion. And, you know, I've had people ask me, well, do you think maybe your ex was playing a joke on you? I was like, no, they're not like that. No way. And, my God, just for him to look at me and go, what the hell is that, you know? But this howl, it was so weird because it went on and on and on. I'm like, what is it looking for? Who or what is it calling for? Is it calling for a mate? Is it calling for an offspring to say, hey, I found some food? Yeah, it definitely has the same tones as that Ohio Howl.
And your sister-in-law, Sonia, she was in bed. She never woke up? She didn't hear anything?
No. And I'm in shock. I'm just like, how could you be asleep that hard that you did not hear this?
Yeah, I'm
and
jealous.
It just killed me.
Man.
Because if she would have heard it, I know she would have come out and like, been like, what is going on? She didn't. I'm just like, God sakes. Maybe she wasn't like me to leave the bed. She never told me that, but I don't know. I just, the part of me really wishes that I would have seen something. But like I said, the other part of me was like, no way would I have been able to handle seeing this thing, because it could be traumatizing, you know, affect you the rest of your life, and completely just change your perspective on everything, I'm sure.
Right.
Is what happens to a lot of people. One day you believe that everything is normal and good and there's nothing out there, and the next minute you're seeing something that's 9 feet tall that looks like
a monster.
A bodybuilder, and it's covered in hair and
yeah. Then you go, oh, monsters are real. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, that it really is striking to me that you barred the door with what you had, which was a chair. I mean, that's unfortunate, you know, because you really were scared about that thing because of the volume of it. And you know how you have people that, well, I've even had this experience with a whistle, a simple whistle. I've always described it as a really messed up bird sound if the bird had lungs bigger than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you could attribute to your whatever that is as well? Kind of, it just sounded big.
Yeah, because like I say, I know the fox screams and I know they can have different tones and things like that, but I've heard enough of them to know that this thing was way bigger than any four-legged animal walking the ground. And like I said, it just sounded like it was higher up. It didn't sound like it was coming from the ground area. It sounded like it was higher up. I don't know. I just, my thoughts immediately were, be quiet, don't move, don't make a sound, pretend as best you can that you are not in here. And I'm just thinking, how soon did it come up and how long was it there before I shut the water off and had my clothes put on?
Talking about these slats, where could it have seen you, you know, before you heard it and shut the slats and turn the lights off? Could it have seen you if it was tall enough?
Yeah, but those were on the other side of the building, so it would have had to walk on that front side and then walk around to the back where the metal drum and all the food scraps were. But I just wondered, I thought, oh my God, you know, what if it had, like, looked in there, didn't see me? That's why I looked out, I'm like, full moon, let's close these two as quietly as we can. But just to hear it trailing off, I mean, it was, this thing just went on and on and on. I'm like, I don't know. I live and wonder the rest of my life.
Absolutely. I mean, for 15, 20 minutes for that to go on, that's a long time. You know that ranch hand had to hear it, because even if he's asleep, his dogs are going bonkers. Those had to have woken him up, and then he would have woken and heard this, whatever it was.
Yeah. I just wish I had remembered more of the dialogue that happened the next day when he and the owner came over, because they came over regularly and had lunch or dinner with us, you know. It's just been so long that I should have just written as much of this down as I could have, you know, when it first happened. But, you know, as I'm getting older in my 40 years of time on this earth, I figured I'd probably better talk to somebody before I forget any more of it.
No, I appreciate you getting in touch about that. This is a really cool encounter, even though you didn't see anything. I mean, it's cool, except for the fact that you were terrified for nearly half an hour, thinking that something was going to rip the door off and come and get you.
I really just wanted to get your thoughts, because, you know, I haven't been able to talk to anybody, you know, and maybe I should try and get in touch with that guy, really get his thoughts, to see if anyone's ever heard anything like that down there, because I haven't done enough research on any of the encounters in Australia to find out what kind of sounds they've heard down there. I think, you know, I've heard of a couple where they say it does like a growl or a grunt, but I haven't heard anything past that.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. And I'll make sure that Cade of the Believe podcast takes a listen to this, and maybe he can even repost it in his groups and things, you know, since he is actually down there, obviously full time. And it would be really cool to have somebody corroborate maybe hearing something similar to this down there, because this is the first time I think I've heard of anyone describing basically the Ohio howl made by a possible Yowie.
And I'm thinking, why do they call it the Yowie monster? Because of the sound it makes. You know, the yowl, howl type, that would make sense. But, and I know, I feel like Wes has maybe had some people on from Australia talking about encounters down there. I just don't remember which ones they are. And I'd have to look and revisit those and see which ones they are, just to kind of feel those out and see what.
And back when I was still on Sasquatch Chronicles, we had a gentleman named Jamie who is from Australia, and he actually had a number of encounters when he would go camping with his family. And it got to the point where it was happening so often that, and they were getting kind of aggressive, that he refused to then take his family camping in that area. And it just kind of turned into him researching. I need to try to, maybe I could even get in contact with him and see, you know, if he's heard anything else, or if I've actually wanted to get him on ITF, because it was like 7 years ago that he was on SC with us, and have him retell his story. I can't even remember the location of that, to be honest with you. So, because I looked on the map where you brought up this Gaduga, and I know that this property is still like 2 hours away from there, but you're right. Like you head east and there is nature preserves and lots of green and forest and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far. Right. So,
right.
Yeah. That's the good thing about, I call it going fishing, is, you know, once this hits the quote unquote airwaves, I'll get a lot of correspondence and then I can, you know, forward that to you. And then it's up to you, of course, if you wanted to talk to these folks or not, but that would be really cool to get more people coming forward from Australia to share experiences.
Yeah, I agree. And I would love to talk to some of these other people just because deep down, I still want to know, like, has anybody else heard this type of howl or woo down there? And, you know, did they hear the same intervals that I heard it, you know, and, you know, what are their thoughts on it sounding like some other type of mammal down there?
Right. So, if somebody has any input on what it could be, that's just a regular old thing that we know about. Yeah, sure. You can send that along too. Now, you mentioned the intervals. So let's be really clear about that too. How long would it take of a break before starting up again?
Okay. So it almost sounded like it was just catching its breath to start in. So it would just be a woo or, you know, whatever it was doing.
And that would go on for 30 seconds? I mean, you said it was pretty long, right?
I'm embarrassed about trying to replicate it.
No,
but
you shouldn't.
I know
be.
I can.
If you want to, I'm all for that. And I mean, it couldn't hurt, believe me.
And it was just kind of like, let me get my bearings here. It was like a, kind of like that. Only, like I said, it was a little bit louder, a lot louder. And it had the dual tone sound to it. It was like a moaning, howling. And it just sounded sad. That was about how long it would go.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would stop for a few seconds and it would start back up again. And it just went on like this.
Did it taper off like the Ohio howl? At the end, it does that, you know, kind of it tapers off a little bit.
I think it did kind of taper off a little bit from what I remember. I mean, we're going back 20 years, but, you know, I just remember the length of it and the decibels, the loudness, and the dual tone. It sounding like a woman moaning / howling. And that's really about it. But it just kept going and I could hear it moving off in the distance. So it would get quieter and quieter as it was moving off. But I just would love to hear if anyone else down there has heard of anything or any sightings in that general area or within a couple hundred mile radius. And the area that it was in, you know, it was your typical outback, but there was some scrubby brush, trees, sources of water, and, you know, lots of places to hide, I'm sure. But I've just always wondered what it could be. And I don't know why it's taken me so long, but I guess it's just the fact that, you know, over the years, the last probably 5 or 6 years is for how long I've been, you know, listening to some of these other encounters and podcasts. And, like I said, I did try and get in touch with one of the hosts several months ago and didn't hear back. And, you know, after hearing you talk to Cade several days ago, I was just like, all right, I got to get this out there because I want to know if anybody else has heard anything like this, you know, and a way it's kind of validation for me that I'm not batshit. Sorry.
No, you're not. Believe me, you are not. And that's what I was saying. This is the good thing about doing this is essentially we're going spotlighting now. That's what we're doing, you and I. So once this airs, the correspondence will come in, especially when it's, I don't get hardly any stories from down under, you know, so this will be a very cool episode for people to listen to and hopefully interact with. So yes, guys, please get in touch with me, and then I can forward any information to, of course, Rebecca. And even better, let's do an Australia roundtable. You know, I can get Rebecca back on. If you have some encounters, we can all chat about it. That would be the ultimate thing, is to have one or two more people that are like, yep, heard something weird or saw something weird, and here's where it was, especially if it's in that area. That's what I'm really interested in. Mm-hmm. Not that these things can't be in other parts of Australia. We realize that. But, I mean, let's face it, when you're looking at a 100,000-acre ranch that is in the middle of freaking nowhere, and you've got this stuff going on, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, too, I used to go down to a place on the coast called Wollongong, which was not too far from where I lived. And I actually heard a podcast. I don't remember which one it was, but there were some kids that I guess went camping down there or stayed in some cabins. And there was a supposed like dog man type encounter down there. So that was kind of interesting, just because I've been in that area a lot. And
what was the name of that area, Rebecca?
Wollongong.
Wollongong. Okay.
Wollongong.
Okay. I might have noted that.
It's on the east coast, south of Sydney, about probably like an hour and 15 minutes south of Sydney, because it wasn't too far from where I lived, and I lived about an hour south of Sydney in a little town called Tamworth.
Okay, I'm actually seeing all this on my maps here. I see Wollongong, I see Warrawong. There's Natai. Am I saying that right? Natai National Park.
Yeah.
The park that is directly east of Gadoga, of course, 2 hours away. Was this ranch? So if you take Gadoga, is it straight east? Is it southeast? What direction would you travel?
See, that's the part that I don't remember.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Driving.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
But what I remember is that we would drive through Lightning Ridge every time, and then we'd have to pass through Gadoga.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember the ranch being another 2 hours by back roads from Gadoga. And I seem to remember there's a possibility it might have just been over the border in actually Queensland. So I don't have anybody
that's what I'm seeing. Lightning Ridge, Gadoga, and then, there, because the line is right there to go into Queensland.
And I seem to remember the property just being over the state line. And I know from what I remember my ex saying, you know, it was really, really close to or bordered a state park or state forest. I got to look and see here.
Does Carnarvon National Park sound familiar? Carnarvon?
No, I don't remember what the names of them
I gotcha. Yeah, there. But you're right, though, because it shows like the little lakes and the ponds and such. And there's that one. And then there's also one called Adalia. But then there's other smatterings of greenage areas around there. So that is so cool. I, of course, have never been there, but I would just love to hear more stories out of that area. So, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on and, of course, choosing me to tell it to. That's awesome.
I still know people down there, and I would like to go back someday, you know. So, you know, I'm sure you'll have opportunities, too, if you ever decide. But it's a really cool place. If you ever get a chance to visit, I wouldn't change it for a thing in the world, even though my marriage didn't work out.
Well, I'd love to go down there. I just wouldn't want to see one of those massive huntsman spiders or any of that other. The spiders down there, I'm going, God bless.
That. Yeah, then there's that and the snakes and yeah. I don't like creepy crawlies either, but there's a lot of cool birds. Do you still have your cocky?
Yes, I do. Yeah, he's a cuckoo bird, and that's my little precious. He's out of his mind. But yeah, we've got several birds here. But yeah, the sweet cockatoo. Of course, he's an Australian bird, actually. So the long-billed Corella. Yeah. He's from Australia.
We had one when I was down there, and he was funny. He'd always say, "What's the matter, mate?" It's so
funny. He had the accent.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it was funny because my ex-father-in-law that was Hungarian taught him how to say it. My ex-father-in-law had a huge, how do you say it? Aviary,
uh-huh.
So that was kind of
cool.
That
is so cool.
All those different birds, but...
Fellow bird lover. Well, I love that because it's a terrible addiction though, because you know, especially for someone that records a podcast in her own home. What the hell am I thinking? I don't know, but I love every one of them, you know, so it's tough. They become your kids. So damn funny. Smart too, but well, again, thank you so much. I don't want to take up any more of your day off here. Is so awesome that you did this for me, Rebecca. And I will be in touch because this will come out Thursday. Give it a couple days. It always takes a couple days for people to write in, usually. And then I'll also reach out to Cade. But I'm pretty excited to see what this drags in.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel free to pass my contact information on to him, too.
I will. So. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, Shannon. And thank you for giving me an out to to talk about this, just because, you know, this helps, like I said, give me some validation, not just think that I'm crazy the rest of my life.
You're not crazy. So. You know that. You've heard the shows. You've heard a lot of different podcasts. You already know. Yeah. If so, then welcome to the crazy club, because I'm crazy too. So there you go. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. You have a really good day.
Thank you. You too, Shannon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little firework. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. reincarnation, that after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you'll be reincarnated. If you are liberated, you will understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.